Well, a pleasant evening to each of you. We're grateful we have this time tonight to study the Word of God. If you'll be taking your Bible and turning to the book of Mark in the 6th chapter, that's where we'll have the majority of our study tonight, from the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. In a moment we'll stand and sing the song Brother King has suggested. If you've never been baptized upon your faith, all things have been made ready tonight, where you can have your sins blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. Or if you need to be restored to Christ and desire the prayers of this congregation, you'll make your way to the front while we're singing. We'll be glad to assist you. Notice with me, beginning at verse 1 from the book of Mark in the 6th chapter. Then he went away from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could not do many mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." When you read in the Gospel of Mark in the 6th chapter, in the first 6 verses, there are several things that stand out. One is that the people are astonished at the teaching of Jesus, and Jesus is astonished or marveled at their unbelief. But when you come to the book of Mark and the 6th chapter, you'll find a very interesting study. We're going to look at 4 different opinions people had of Jesus. And I want you to look at the views they had and why they held that particular view, and then we'll make application and the lesson is yours. And I want to tell you that the opinion of Christ reveals the character of the people. When you look at how someone views Christ and how they judge Christ, that really reveals a lot about that individual. In the book of Mark and the 6th chapter, notice that Jesus comes to his own country, back to Nazareth. And when he returned, notice he followed his custom and he went into the synagogue to worship God, his Father, and to teach. And when you read in the book of Mark and the 6th chapter, notice that when he spoke, they again, as already mentioned, were astonished, saying, "Where does this man get these things?" Now, I want you to stop and notice that they heard of Jesus' mighty works, even though he's not going to perform many there because of their unbelief. But they would have heard of what he's been doing around the area of Galilee. And when Jesus got up to speak, they were blinded to who he was because all they had in their mind was his fleshly birth. They had a little knowledge, and that little bit of knowledge kept them from seeing that Jesus was the Son of God. So in their unbelief and envy, they said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" It sounds like they're belittling him. They do not see him as the Messiah. They said, "He is the carpenter's son, and his family's here with us, and we do not believe that he is who he proclaims." That's one opinion. He was just the carpenter's son. But take your Bible in the book of Mark and the 6th chapter and drop down to verse 14. And notice in verse 14 that Jesus is going about and he's been healing people. And it says that King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. Now think about that. The name of Jesus had risen up to the king. And yet notice what Herod said about him. He said, "John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." Now you'll remember that it was Herod that had John put to death, as you continue to read in Mark chapter 6. And the reason that Herod had him put to death is because he had married Herodias, his brother's wife. And you'll remember that John stood up and said, "You have no right. You are in sin." And Herodias' anger burned hot, and they plotted against him. And you'll remember that because of the sin of Herodias' daughter and the sin of Herod, John was put to death. But have you ever thought about how sin blinded Herod? How the sin he committed was before him? He used to send to hear for John, so John would preach to him. But now that John had died, and it was his idea, or his fault that John had been put to death, now he's thinking John had been raised from the dead. Have you ever thought about how sin can blind you to the right view of who Jesus is? So that's two views. One, people were blinded, and their opinion was, he is not the Messiah, he is the carpenter's son. And the second opinion is, he is John the Baptist raised from the dead. But then if you take your Bible, notice a third view. Look down, if you will, and notice that Jesus feeds the 5,000. Look at verse 34. Jesus, when he came, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Now notice the day begins to draw short. And Jesus tells them to feed the people. And they say, how can we? We don't have enough food. And you remember the miracle that Jesus wrought with just the loaves and the fish. But you remember what the people wanted to do? Take your Bible and look in John's account in John chapter 6. And when you come to John chapter 6, they had in mind that they're going to take Jesus and make him their king by force. Look again in John 6, and look, if you will, at verse 15. In verse 15, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now then, look at their view. They saw Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to be their king. But notice the reason they wanted Jesus to be their king was a selfish reason. Because he had fed them. Drop down in your Bible in the book of John and the 6th chapter and notice again what it said. Look at what it said in verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they got in the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And why were they seeking him? They still wanted to make him king. But then Jesus begins to teach things that were difficult to hear. And in the book of John and the 6th chapter, you'll find where they follow him no more. Look down at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Have you ever thought that they wanted to make him king, but they wanted to for selfish reasons? He fed them. And perhaps they thought, well, we'll never have to work again. He can take over the Roman power. He can feed us. And we'll just sit here and let him be our king. And Jesus said, you had the wrong kingdom in mind. Jesus didn't come to set up a fleshly kingdom. He came to set up a spiritual one. So I've seen three different views of Jesus. Three opinions. But let's look at a fourth one. Take your Bible again in the book of Mark and the 6th chapter. And notice, if you will, in verse 45. This time, the disciples are on the sea, and there's a storm. And you'll notice that Jesus had told them to go across to the other side, and he went up on the mountain to pray. And notice that when the night came, he, on the fourth watch of the night in verse 48, while they're struggling out at the sea, he is walking on the water. And it says in verse 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost. Now, you know, sometimes it'd be easy for us to look at them and say, how could they think it was a ghost? Well, my friend, if you saw something and you didn't know who it was or what it was coming towards you, you'd have fear. Fear blinded their eyes. And they thought that what was coming towards them was some kind of aberration, some kind of a spirit or a ghost. And notice Jesus said, no, it's me. Be of good cheer. I've often thought about they did not have a cry of faith, but of fear. Now then, how do I apply that tonight? Well, first of all, I want to raise the question for each of us, what is our view of Christ? And I'll tell you, how we view our view of Christ will direct our life. Our view, our judgment, our opinion will direct how we live. First, do you believe he's the Son of God? If you believe he's the Son of God, you'll submit to his will and you'll obey him. in John 1, verses 1 through 3, it reveals to us that He is the Son of God. That He is God's Son. And I'll tell you, my friend, He's not just another man. He's not just someone who was a good teacher. He is God the Son. And we need to emphasize that in our teaching and preaching. But you know, my friend, little knowledge of Him leads to disobedience. When people don't study the Word of God and know the Word of God, they're led to disobey God. Secondly, like Herod, sin can blind our eyes to it. There are a lot of people tonight who've changed what God's Word has said, and they've made Jesus into something He never was. Jesus was a teacher of truth. Jesus never compromised truth for culture's sake. And I'll tell you, my friend, in our day and time, we have to take a stand against culture to teach the truth. Truth is what saves people. And sin can blind our eyes to the truth because we do what we want to do instead of what God has directed us. How many people like Herod really have fear because they do not want to follow the Word of God? And so they try to change God's Word to make their conscience not be so bothered. Thirdly, we need to look at our attitude towards material things. You know, there are some people who follow Jesus for what they can get out of it. They think, if I follow Jesus, I'll get this and I'll get that. And as long as they feel like they're being blessed, they say, give me more. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people tonight that teach the prosperity gospel. And I'll tell you, we need to be careful that we don't preach that. We prosper as Christians spiritually, but that does not mean we'll prosper financially. There's a lot of people on television that say, send me your money and all of a sudden you'll be getting more money. I'll tell you, that's not what's said. But I'll tell you, there's something else. A lot of people just don't want to work. Yeah, I thought about, we have a work to do here at O'Neill. And everybody has a part. And we all need to pitch in and do our part as the work here at O'Neill. We all have something we can do. But finally, Jesus alone can rid the fear of your heart. You ever thought about when Jesus got to the boat, their fear subsided? And I'll tell you, my friend, when you look at Jesus, He has overcome the world. And He says, fear not. Look sometime in your study, in your private time, of how many times Jesus tells people, fear not. But take your Bible as we close and look in 1 Corinthians 15. And notice why we fear not. He said in verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be victorious if we continue in Him. Tonight, what's your view of Christ? How you view Him will dictate how you live. And if you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand.